Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Ramona, Mark and I have made a pact to stay in the moment and try to take it game by game. We haven't been willing to talk about the offseason, but we don't get to talk to you very often. So I'm going to ask you about the offseason and whether or not you think the next couple of days will play into what they're going to do. Or do you have an idea that this Warrior team will go either way next year, either stick and stay and run it back or try to blow this thing up and make wholesale changes?
I think the core will be intact, right? Like, I think the big three will be intact. I'm curious about whether they take a big swing, because they certainly have the ammo to do it. They have the draft picks, they have young players, they have a couple contracts they could trade. And there's some very interesting trade candidates out there. Like, I know this sounds very Warriors, right? Like, but you know, you think that they should cut pay. I think they will try to get under the second apron. I do. It makes the most sense for them. But I also think that they are always in the market for stars. And there are going to be some stars this summer that might be available. I'm thinking more front court rather than back court, because you already have Steph and Clay. I assume Clay Thompson will figure something out. I just can't see the Warriors without him. But yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe Orlando throws a bag at him. I don't know. But I think Clay stays. And then the big question is Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul's been great for them when he's been healthy. I know they really like him. If he comes back, how does he come back? You know, does he come back with the contract he's under? Do they renegotiate something? Is there an opportunity to get him for a lesser cost? Like, what would he think of that? Does he have a market elsewhere? Like, that's all. Those are the two that I have the biggest questions about. Like, what do they do going forward? But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go big game hunting again.
Okay, you mentioned some front court stars might be available. Mm. Do tell. Mm-hmm. We want names.
I know you do. I'm gonna let that one sit.
Ah.
You have to figure that out. You have to figure that one out.
Well, but
one of them we've already reported on. One of them they tried to get LeBron at the deadline.
Sure.
And that's more complicated now. But I think, like, you know, what's the biggest, you know, this group didn't fit together the way that they wanted them to, or the way that they have in the past, right? And I think they could use a little more shooting. They could use another dependable score. So I would just watch to see what they do. Maybe they'll just stand pat and kind of, you know, get under the second apron and run it back next year. How do you have a team that still has Steph Curry? If he's not squarely in his prime, he is just a little south of it, just a little, right? Like, he's 95% of what he was in, you know, back when they were rolling. And how do you not give him the best chance to win again? How do you not take a few swings? Whether they pull those off, I don't know. But I think they try.
Yeah, you think that the trade assets exist for them to do something like that?
100%. I mean, they have their draft picks. They have young players like Moody. A lot of people really like Moody. A lot, people like Kuminga. I don't think they'll ever trade Kuminga. They'll really fight hard not to. People like Pajemski. I don't think they would want to trade Pajemski. Same thing with Trace. But, like, people are going to call about their young players. Those are good players. Plus, you have contracts like Wiggins' contract, like Chris Paul's contract is interesting. Even some of the other guys on the bench, like Looney or Gary Payne, like, they have the kind of assets that teams want. Like, they don't have albatross contracts on the Warriors. Like, I actually think, like, for as expensive as that team is, they're actually very well positioned to recalibrate.
Wow. And do you think that what happens over the course of the next couple of days will dictate their course? Or do you imagine that the owner, Joe Lacob, is already dead set on trying to make this big swing, knowing that what he has in Steph Curry in a fading core is not going to be enough to run it back and win another chip?
I think it would help if they got out of the play-in, right? I think it would help if they had a playoff series and showed some signs of life. But I don't think it dictates anything. I think everything in the Warriors' DNA is that they're going to try to contend for as long as they can contend. They just gave Steve Kerr 2 more years. Steph's got 2 more years. For as long as those two guys are riding together, like, I think the Warriors try everything they can to give them a chance to win.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Hey, you started off by saying you think that they will handle tomorrow night well. Give me a little bit on that matchup. Why you think the Warriors will win tomorrow night?
I don't feel that strongly about it, right? Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Sacramento won at all. They've had an entire year to think about that Game 7. Sacramento's been, they lost two really key players, and that does matter. Like, I was at that Game 7 last year. Malik Monk was important. He was really important in that series, and I also think they have both teams have made changes this year, both teams are different. It's also both teams have the blueprint for how that series shook out, right? Like, the Warriors have an idea of how to defend Sabonis. They have an idea of what to do with De'Aaron Fox. Like, they didn't really stop De'Aaron Fox. You know, he just broke his finger, and
right.
Only that really stopped him in that series. But they have different personnel, right? They mostly stopped Sabonis with Kevon Looney and Draymond. Kevon's not really in the rotation right now, so. Do we see him make a cameo? I don't know. It wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me if he played the other night when they were resting everybody. He got a little rust off. Like, we'll see. I think they go with what they've been playing with. But these teams know each other so well, and the Warriors got the better of them last year. Plus, I just think losing those two reserves really hurts. Like, Malik Monk was going to win Sixth Man of the Year. Like, he's really important for what they do.
No, and he's a warrior killer. Absolutely. Yeah. So, no, that I'm with you on that one. Ramona, thank you. Thank you so much. There were more picks in the WNBA draft while we were talking, but I didn't catch all of them. I hope that's okay.
Looks like Camila Cardoza went to Chicago.
She went third. Yep. She went third.
Yeah, and then Rekia Jackson went to the Sparks. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And I was kind of thinking they were going to take Angel Reese there.
Angel Reese is still available at this hour.
And
she's
Dallas
still
on the clock. Yep. Yeah.
Listen, I talked to Lisa Leslie the other day for that story I did on Caitlin Clark. And Lisa cannot understand why she's falling. Like, she's like, anybody who can get 5 offensive rebounds, 20 rebounds in a game, so competitive. But plus, like, I'm from L.A., Mark. You spent some time down here. Isn't Angel Reese made for L.A.?
Made for it. I don't know if anybody's watching this, but I draft her for her outfit alone tonight. She looks unbelievable.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would take her at 4, but I guess not. It's okay.
All right.
We'll see where she ends up.
Yep.
Well,
hopefully it's a big market where she can shine, because she is a huge personality, great player. I know maybe she doesn't shoot the way people want her to shoot, but, like, that girl can play.
Congratulations on Steph Curry's god sister from your university coming to your town. Did I say that right?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Can we do a little for Stanford? 5, 6, 7, 8. Woo!
Yeah, you did it. You did it. It was perfect.
I did it.
Okay. Momo, thank you.
Thanks, boys.
All right. There she goes. That's Ramona Shelburne. And by the way, I know where everyone's head is suddenly at. That took a turn.
Giannis. Giannis.
Well, everybody.
Front court star.
If you're like, Giannis. Yeah, if you're like you and me, we're all doing the same thing. Who are these front court stars? She's like, well, I'm not telling.
Yeah,
and it's
I
like when
that.
Somebody had a crush on you in seventh grade. Somebody's got a crush on you. Oh, who is it? I'm not telling.
Right.
Well, what do you,
well, good
does that do anybody?
No good.
You got to tell us. Who are the front court stars?
Front court star.
That could become available.
Maybe on the move. The first name I thought of is Giannis. And you looked at me like,
I don't think it's Giannis.
No, but you looked at me and you're like, who do you think? And I tried to mouth it.
Yeah,
and
no, I knew
think,
which. No,
oh,
I knew.
Okay.
I got it.
I went,
but I'm. No,
it's
my,
hard to, yeah.
My response was not, I don't know what you're saying. My response was, no, I can't be that.
Right.
Giannis is going to, like, she's sitting here today assuming the availability of a front court star and
right.
The Warriors would have the necessary assets to make it happen.
That's the part that I'm curious about is, you know, and she said teams like Moses Moody and,
yep.
You know, Pods, of course,
and
great
Poughkeepsie
rookie
kid.
Year.
Yep.
And, you know, you do have the draft picks, not this year, but future years.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, I don't know if teams like Moses, and she actually mentioned that the Warriors probably wouldn't want to trade Kuminga, and that was good to hear. So
she said they would fight like hell,
right,
to not trade Jonathan Kuminga.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm still in that mode. Let's go ahead and slip and fall into the offseason conversation for just a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Since she brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you.
Well, I asked it because we won't talk to her.
Yes.
You know, we only talk to her once a month. So
your instincts were 1,000% correct, but that idea that she was so firm that the Warriors 100% have the assets to get into that conversation without including Kuminga is very, very interesting. It the idea that not only are teams interested in the likes of Moody and Pajemski, but yes, forget the future draft picks.
Right.
And if you do start to follow the breadcrumbs, you can see that the Warriors are still all in on the remainder of Steph Curry's career. From Draymond's contract to Steve Kerr's, could Chris Paul be someone where you pick up the option and then trade? Or is Chris Paul someone you could bring back at a greatly reduced number?
Right.
There are ways to do this, and it's interesting to note that she thinks the Warriors are already of that mindset, sort of irregardless of what happens this week or next.
Yeah.
I find that comforting, to be honest with you. I really do.
It's comforting, but it's also a little bit upsetting, perhaps.
Why?
Because it may involve, you know, players that you like or players that you have grown accustomed to. It's not as easy as, you know, Pajemski and Moody and picks, and, you know, here comes the star. You may have to part with Clay, or you may have to part with other players who you don't want to part with. And, you know, if you're a Wiggins fan, if you're a Wiggins lover, then maybe if Wiggins gets dealt, that becomes upsetting to you as well. I personally wouldn't be heartbroken if Wiggins got traded, but you're not going to be able to make sweeping changes without some losses to some of your core.
I'm Googling
front court stars.
I'm Googling hard. Yeah. Who is it that could be available?
Well, I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings top to bottom, and I get to New York at number two, and Jerome Randall is a guy who maybe, but I don't think that he's the fit for this Warrior team. For me, if you're going to bring in a front court star, it's got to be somebody who's a little bit more dynamic, I think, in the offense that the Warriors run.
Yeah, I mean, again, she's talking about front court big names.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report did a thing about a month ago. They're like, okay, now that the trade deadline's gone, here's some off-season trade possibilities. And they've got the Warriors sending Andrew Wiggins to the Raptors along with Looney and GP2 and a future pick for center Jakob Poeltl. One of my favorite names.
Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, Poeltl. Anyway, and Bruce Brown. Okay, that's front court. That's a trade. Could it make you better? Sure, but that's not That's not what Ramona was talking about.
No, she's talking about a
she's
star.
Talking about big
Jakob
names.
Pertl is not a
no,
front
he's not.
Court star.
Front court star. Who the heck is available? Who is it?
I don't know.
Because she's like, you know, some people might be available. I mean, sure, there's the LeBron thing. Okay, high-level players that could ask for a deal. I mean, okay, NBA executive whispers on big names who could ask for a trade this offseason. Kevin Durant.
Yep, yep.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see where Minnesota goes.
Joel Embiid?
New Orleans has got to make a decision between Zion and Brandon Ingram. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some big names.
Those are big names, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Drew Holiday has now been locked up. The free agency area is not what we're talking about here. Because they're not going to have the dollars to go out and do Pascal Siakam or anything like that. Tyrese Maxey's a restricted free agent. He's also not a big, not a front court player. I don't know. Because when you hear it from someone like Ramona, that is so tapped in on these conversations, and then the fact that she wouldn't really expand on them, you're talking about some players who will either demand or request, or there's like some discord within the ranks that we may well not know about yet. I mean, the Durant one is super interesting just because it's Kevin Durant,
yep.
Number one. And number two, maybe one of the more under-discussed things in the Western Conference, why the hell do the Suns stink?
Yeah.
Like, and they don't stink, but they should be better.
Yes.
They should be better than they are. And so will they look to shuffle their own deck? Quite possibly. That'd be a big name.
KD. I mean, KD back, reunited, and it feels so good.
There you go.
It's possible.
Phoenix wants Moses Moody and Brandon Pajemski and 27 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Wiggins. I don't know.
Well, and that's...
I don't know.
You make it interesting about the Chris Paul contract part of it, because if you're going to trade for a big name with a big salary, you're going to have to send some big salary out.
No doubt.
As well. And so if you're going to bring in Kevin Durant, who I don't have his exact number, but he probably makes about $45 million a year or so.
Probably at least that.
So you would have to include a dead money Chris Paul as a part of that, at least.
Kevin Durant's number next season is $49.856 million dollars, and is also locked up for 25-26 at 53.2.
Right. So that's not happening. We're not doing that as far as being below the second threshold, the second apron.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea.
A name that I thought of as we were having this conversation is Lauri Markkanen, somebody who I was thinking about at the deadline.
Well, that would be fantastic.
Right.
Right.
And he's making 18 flat next year.
Okay.
$18 million.
There it is.
So
Wiggins and a pick for Markkanen. Done.
Sure. Sure. Wiggins, Moody, Pajemski and a pick. Although that the money wouldn't work there for... But I think that Wiggins has got to be a part of anything that you're going to do.
Well, I do believe, again, as we slip and fall into our offseason
talk. Trying not to.
No, but I do believe, just put it this way, it is likely that the Golden State Warriors have internally decided that this town ain't big enough for Wiggins and Kuminga.
Right.
That's probably true. And if you really do want to clear the way for Jonathan Kuminga to be the star that many of us think that he can be, and every time we talk to anyone on the inside, you'll hear them say, God, they would just despise the idea of trading Jonathan Kuminga. Would they do it if somebody offered them something that was just like, oh my God, we cannot refuse this? You never have to close the door to anything. You can't do that. But the Warriors do not want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. They just don't want to do it. And they shouldn't want to do it. And so if they are going to continue to feel what it looks like they feel right now, which is that Wiggins and Kuminga are probably, to some degree, in one another's way.
Yeah.
You got to clear one of them out, especially since, look, it didn't work. Like, the most important thing that Ramona Shelburne just said to us on the eve of the postseason, it didn't work. So, file that. Especially for those, even if they go on a run.
Right, right.
Whatever, like, you can't, they're not, Bob Fitzgerald said to us last week, they're not going to be stupid enough to be like we are. We're stupid. We're fans.
Right.
We're just sitting here being like, okay, let's find out tomorrow night if this Warrior team works or not. Well, that's not how they're running their organization. They're not going to base this on 48 minutes in Sacramento. They have already decided. You are the 10 seed. That's not good enough. Dot, dot, dot. It didn't work.
Right.
So the whole idea of will this playoff run stop them from making big changes or force them to make big changes? I think that that decision has already been made.
Agreed.
Next year will look very different.
No doubt. And I think back to the discussion we had about Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks. And when Kyle Shanahan came out publicly and said he can't do that, he knows he can't do that. At that point, it was the kiss in the cheek from Michael Corleone to Fredo. And that was going to be it for Steve Wilks. And even if they would have won the Super Bowl, I think that they would have parted. It would have been maybe more amicable, but the parting would have happened nonetheless. And I look at this Warrior season, and yeah, you can look at seven different things. Well, you know, the tragic loss of Deke and what that did, and Draymond missing 20 games due to suspension, and Chris Paul broke his hand, and Andrew missed five or so games with his absence. Well, you know, if none of that would have happened, could we have been a 50-win team? You bet your sweet bacon we could have been, but at the end of it, you weren't, and you're the 10th seed.
You really got my attention there with sweet bacon.
Yeah.
Or actually kind of distracted me. It's hard to listen to what someone else is saying when they say bacon.
And I have found...
my mind goes to a completely different place.
In this weight loss journey, and I'm down 20.
Dude, you look fantastic.
Thank you. I feel great.
You're in this little vortex right now where you're like a baby, where you look different every day. Like, I just saw you on Thursday.
Right.
And I walked in, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're down another six.
Pretty funny.
Or so, are you?
Yeah, three since Thursday.
Since Thursday?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just your outfit. You looked different.
And it's my face. I'm down at least one jowl.
In the face!
Maybe a jowl and a half. I might be down a jowl and a half. In the face! Dude, you can't start getting giggly. It's only Monday.
Oh, no, we're fine.
But yeah, but I'm finding that my references now are more about food than ever before.
Yeah, you're comfortable with it. You can say bacon, but eat it.
No, but think about it all day.
You know, like we talked about our donut bet, and you're going to bring in donuts, and you will have the willpower to not eat them.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, we're going to find out. I'm going to try and do that this week. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm going to try and do that.
That'd be great.
Well, I normally wait for the morale to be low, but the morale around our show and our station's been so good for so long.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night in Sacramento.
Yeah, good call.
Morale.
Maybe I'll bring Wednesday does.
Wednesday.
When the Warriors next time the Warriors lose, I'll bring does the next day.
Oh, so they're not coming for weeks.
Well, I mean, they might lose a game in the first round.
They could.
So
they could lose next week. They just can't lose this week.
Next Warrior loss, I'll bring donuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a deal. Let's go to Doug.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Doug in Berkeley.
Let's go to Doug.
On Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Doug. What are you doing?
Hey. I'm just sitting down with my honey. We're about to have a couple of margaritas and, you know, maybe even more. So things are pretty good. And listening to you guys. I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Steve Kerr sounds like a broken record. I don't care who you trade for, or I don't care if you run it back. We're not going to do anything next year if we give the other team extra chances, if we don't turning the ball over. And aren't you guys tired of hearing Kerr say this for like 10 years and it doesn't change? And we're not as young and as quick as we were when we could get away with it. I'm telling you, and I think you guys really know it. I don't care who we trade for. I don't care if Kevin Durant comes back. We're not going to win if we give the other team more chances than we get.
Okay, but Doug, here's what I would love to know and find interesting. When you hear something like that, in other words, you watch the turnovers, you hear the coach say, we got to stop with the turnovers, but then you feel like it doesn't really happen. Who is that on?
Is it not on? It's on the players and the coach, but
yeah,
is
I mean,
it not on the coach?
I'm asking you.
I think it's on the coach. I think it starts at the top to get the team to play low turnover basketball. Okay, five fewer turnovers a game. I mean, aren't you guys? I mean, we've been watching this for 10 years.
Yeah,
we happily got away with it, you know, four times. But it's the same, and we're not as young as we used to be. Come on, do you really believe that these guys? I love them. They've given us so much joy. Do you really believe a trade for a big name is gonna make a difference if we keep turning the ball over?
Well, okay. Maybe. I mean, Doug, here's how I would answer that.
Yeah.
I think that you're asking Steve Kerr to do something that's not easily done. If you buy the idea that this is sort of locked into the DNA of the Warriors, I certainly believe it is. You have three core players who have been playing together for a decade plus. They've learned a certain way of basketball. It's been very, very effective. They're not quite what they used to be, but you want Steve Kerr overnight, because remember, championship less than 2 years ago, you want him overnight to remove that from their DNA. And my God, that's hard.
I actually have wanted them, and this is the first time I've called in with this complaint. I've wanted them to remove that from their DNA for years. It was they got away with it, you know, like three out of 5 years or three out of 4 years. And then the last championship, they won it. They played who was in front of them.
Yeah.
But they were somewhat fortunate. They were somewhat fortunate. And it was somewhat unexpected. It's other teams don't turn the ball over as much as we do. Don't tell me that these guys can't do it. They can't. It's impossible for them to do it. Okay, I'm not the only political thing I'm going to say. I just done it. I'm not.
Whoa, you're about to get political?
Careful, Doug.
I remember when George Bush was president, and every 3 or 4 months he'd say, we have to stop our dependence on foreign oil. And he'd just say it like every 3 or 4 months, just be saying it.
You're talking about the first George Bush, right? You're talking about the first one?
HW, not W. Yeah.
I'm talking about W. I'm talking about W, not HW.
Not HW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And every 4 months or so, he'd come on the TV and he'd make that statement. The oil man would make that statement because it's we should have done that. We should do that. It's like Kerr says we should do it. You know, and they don't practice it, I guess. I don't know. It gets worse.
No, they do, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
I'll just give you some numbers, Doug, and this is not only for Doug, but for all the Dougs out there in the audience. But when they won the championship 2 years ago, per 100 possessions, they turned it over 15.1 times per 100 possessions.
Okay.
This year, they're at 14.3.
Okay.
So they're actually slightly better this year than they were in their championship year. But the biggest part, Mark, is 2 years ago when they won the championship, they were number 3 in points allowed. This year, they're number 18. So it's not, Doug, and I apologize for coming down your road, you and all the Bushes, but it's not about the turnovers. It's the defense.
It's not about that end of the floor.
It's the defense.
It's the other end of the floor.
When your defense is good or when your defense is elite, then you win games. And this is why, and I know you're coming in hot, and I want to let you, because I don't like to do all the talking on the show. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's been
too much of me on Friday, quite frankly. Larry just sitting there staring at me. But
yeah,
that's my biggest problem with the Draymond Green factor, is he's so good on defense, but you can't rely on him to actually be around because he gets suspended all the time.
No, that's completely fair. That's completely fair. No, what I was actually going to do is I was going to admit a shortcoming, I think, of mine in this conversation.
Okay.
because I know a lot of people want, you want to be mad at Steve Kerr and you want to be mad at the turnovers. And I know a lot of you think that no matter what happens that's bad, I'm always here to tell you it's not the coach's fault. Here's what I think might be going on, though. When you sit here and go, okay, here's a coach. He's telling them to not turn the ball over, but they're still turning the ball over. They are turning it over less, but they're still kind of turning the ball over. And it leads a Warrior fan to go, they must not even practice. They must not care. He must not tell them. They're not doing it, so it's his fault. I am potentially, personally triggered. I have two teenagers at home. I have two teenagers at home.
Two teens.
So please explain to me about the idea of when you tell people to do something, they do it. Oh, really now? Is that how life works?
That's how it works in my house.
So this is Steve Kerr's fault because he goes, hey, Steph, maybe stop turning the ball over. And then Steph automatically will stop turning the ball over because other people, they always do exactly what you tell them to do. Especially if they're in an artistic career where they don't even always have control over the results of their own actions. Is that what I'm to understand? That's what coaching is? Steve forgot to practice, quote, not turning the ball over, which, by the way, I don't even know what that means.
Right.
What does that mean? So today, guys, gather around. We're going to practice not turning the ball over.
Today, we're going to focus on throwing it to our team and not to their team.
And therefore, if I see any of you throw the ball and it gets touched by someone on the defense, are we doing up-downs?
Gassers.
Are we not
suicides.
Allowed? Do we not get lunch? Do we take your keys to Chase? What is it that you would like this to look like? Weak point for me, I acknowledge.
It's not a weak point.
Weak point for me.
It's really not, because the idea of, you know, hey, don't turn it over so much it's kind of a laughable thing for me when your entire offense is predicated on passing. You pass the ball more than any other team in the association. So when you pass it more, you're going to have more turnovers, because passing it, every time you pass the ball, there's a chance that the other team is going to steal it. And that is, I think, the majority of turnovers come from passes that are intercepted or bad passes thrown out of bounds and the rest of it. So I think that if you're going to be a high assist team, you're going to be a high turnover team just by the very nature of the way you go about things.
Granted.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, I think if you look at their assists year over year, last year they were number one in turnovers in the association. This year, you're number eight. So, and you're down a couple of turnovers per game.
Jordan Poole, go bye-bye. From,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And also, you brought in the point guard.
Yes.
And he's a guy who doesn't turn it over.
Right.
Fewer turnovers than Brock Purdy this year.
Listen, when they go on their little runs and start hucking the ball into the stands and everything, I'm with all of you, too. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. It's just funny to me where, like, a lot of you, it seems like your view on the TV is, Clay, like, this has happened a lot in the first quarter. I feel like they've had some sloppy first quarters lately, right? Clay turns to the left. And he just hucks the ball right over Kuminga's head, and it goes out of bounds. Do you all go,
Kerr?
Damn it, Kerr! I remember when I played in high school, and if you threw the ball at your teammate's feet, and it bounced off their shin and rolled out of bounds, I know what my coach did. He did not go,
my bad.
Damn it, I'm really doing a bad job coaching. No, I got hucked the hell out of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isaiah in Concord says this is the worst coaching year of Kerr's career. Let's hear it, Isaiah. Welcome to the show. What's up? Isaiah?
Zay.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can now.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Okay. So the reason I'm saying that is because there's three primary events that I can remember. One was the Moody game. I don't know if you guys remember when Moody was hot as fish grease, hitting threes, and Kerr sat him down for no reason, and we lost that game. He did admit that he screwed up that game.
That was on this show. We remember.
Like there was several incidents where Kerr just, I don't know, I don't think he's as into it from a coaching perspective as he's already been, because, like, if you look at what he did with Kuminga, my wife took me to the game for my birthday when they played Denver at home, and we were up, I want to say, by 25, and he sat Kuminga for the last 18 minutes of the game for no reason. I don't know if it was to prove a point or what, but we got killed in the fourth quarter. I was completely ticked off because it was a great game up until that point. And then if you look at what he did with Looney, like, Looney can't finish. Everybody knows that. He's great on screen and rolls with smaller guards, and he's a great rebounder, but he cannot finish at the rim. What took him so long to make the switch to TJD? TJD has been winning games for us. That alone, I think that's a horrible oversight.
Can I answer your question, Isaiah? You want to know what took so long to switch to TJD? You want to know?
Yes, sir.
He's a rookie. Mm. He wouldn't have looked like this if you played him in November. Isaiah, I get the frustration, and I'll say it again. Nobody's saying Steve hasn't made any mistakes this year. He has. And you're right, Isaiah. He called this radio show.
Yep.
It was the first thing he said. I messed the Moody thing up. He's messed a couple of Kuminga games up.
Yep.
I'm going to acknowledge that and actually, yes, give him a pass, because as we've detailed, I think, a number of times on this show, when you have these lineup problems, when you have a roster like this and you cannot predict from night to night who's going to do what, and you've got redundancy and all of that, you're going to have some missteps, just like the players have. Like, every one of you who wants to be mad that Jonathan Kuminga didn't get this, that, or the other as far as an opportunity, do you go stir crazy and freak out when Kuminga goes 0 for 4 and scores nothing? Do you get mad at him? They've all messed up at one time or another. That does not equal Steve Kerr did a bad job this year, in my mind. And it does not equal the Warriors need a new coach.
No. I don't know if Isaiah was saying that. He was just saying that this is
No, but we said it was his worst year.
Right. His 10th best year of his 10 years.
But then you point to two things, and you're like, those were bad.
Yeah.
And Steve would be like, yep, mess those up.
Well, and you could look at Steve Kerr, and even if this is his 10th best year of his 10 years on the job, this is probably his toughest year that he's had on the job, other than the year where they all punted on it. Draymond basically quit on the team and Steph got hurt.
I wonder if he feels like this was tougher than last year.
Oh, absolutely. This is tougher than any year, I would imagine.
I don't know. I don't know what he feels.
Well, last year was,
yeah,
you know,
when you're dealing with infighting,
literally infighting. Right.
And it going public, I would imagine that is harder than, I don't know which lineup to pick.
Right.
But I don't know.
No,
you might be right.
You're probably right on that, especially when you look at what he had to work with. And, you know, last year he didn't have the same sort of bench that he had this year. And he even mentioned how much, you know, he's liked this year and how deep they are. They got 11 or 12 guys that he can play, which is, you know, makes his job more difficult, certainly, than when you only have eight guys who you feel like are playable, which is what last year you got down to the playoffs, and he only had seven guys he would play in the playoffs.
I just think sometimes we ask for these coaches to be psychic. You know what I mean? They want you to move off of a veteran player before you're even sure that veteran player is not performing anymore. I'll agree with you. Looney has been frustrating at times with what happens around the rim on offense. I can see that. But Kevon Looney was selling jerseys in this town a year and a half ago. And so you want Steve Kerr to suddenly know, like, Kevon has one bad game and it's like, that's it. We're putting him on the bench for the rest of the year. Like, there's a process there.
Right.
And he was open to it. He did it. He benched one of his favorite players.
The guy who had the second longest games played streak in the association.
Who's a champion.
And he said on our show how hard that was because he knew that Kevon had that streak, second longest in the league, and yet he knew that he had to make that call, and so he made the call.
How about, let's go to Justin in Menlo Park.
Don't go to Justin.
Why not?
I'll go to Justin.
Okay, hi, Justin.
Sorry. Just
what are you doing, Justin? Dibs hates you.
I am good. I can't wait to get a name drop for this, but I just got done playing Palo Alto Hills nine holes there. So thank you very much.
Palo Alto Hills?
Yep, thank you.
Never heard of it.
I don't even know it. Yeah, neither of us have heard it.
You would expect it to be in the hills of Palo Alto.
Is it private?
It is private. One of my relatives works there. So I get to play for free on Mondays. Yep, exactly.
Because it's closed on Mondays.
Yeah,
it's a country.
Look at you, fancy
Palo
pants.
Palo Alto Hills.
Closed on Mondays.
I have never.
Yep.
Well, and I'm between Mark and I, a couple of big-time golf guys.
Big time.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm on the website right now. PAHGCC.com.
Better question, you crazy person. Why'd you only play nine if you got that kind of an in?
Yeah.
It's very hilly, and they don't let you take a golf cart out after 4, and I only got on at 3:30.
Oh, so a little load management, I see. Much. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right,
okay.
Justin.
I'm not shedding the weight like Dibs is, though. Are you doing SOTA, or what's the...
No. It's AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Yes. It's incredible. Okay. If you're looking to shed some pounds or inches off the old waistline, although my problem now, Justin, is I need belts. I'm shopping for belts now.
Okay.
My pants are falling off.
There's one available named Brandon. I know that.
I need a belt that actually works.
Justin, we're trying to shed some callers here based on our clock. So, can you, this was fun, but I bet you had something else to say.
I'll keep it fast.
Yeah.
I hate piling on to this Steve Kerr thing. Because I am a big Steve Kerr fan. I think he is the right person for now and for the future, because there's no one better. The point on, he has no impact on the turnovers, though, I'll ask this more as a question. I feel like one of the things that does contribute to the turnovers is the schemes getting predictable, and so people jump routes. And that could be in his control, potentially. And another thing is some of the schemes promote cross-court passes, which are also kind of turnover machines.
So
I don't know if you think those two are in his court or not.
Justin, I'll buy what you're saying for a second, but also acknowledge I do think the whole, he's been around a while, so his offense is predictable and the other team knows what he's doing. They addressed this a few weeks ago. Every team in the NBA knows exactly what the other NBA team is doing. They all know. It's not like they got to Minnesota. It was like craziest thing. They ran the offense through Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. I had no idea what those two tried to do. These teams know exactly. You don't think LeBron James has seen it all from every team and every player out there?
Yep.
So you may have a point. But I don't think it's because of longevity or anything like that. We're sponsored by Prize Picks. More room for your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Some front court stars might be available. Do tell. We want names.
Yes, I know you do. I'm gonna let that one sit. You have to figure that one out.
Well,
one of them we've already reported. One of them they tried to get LeBron to schedule.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ooh, spicy.
Totally. Momo.
Spicy Momo. With a little side of guacamole.
Seriously.
Oh, baby. But we can't do this.
Name names, Momo. What kind of radio is that? I can't tell you. Come on, Momo. Put your name on it.
I did used to get really mad when the people would do that with when you're in middle school and high school and people had crushes. Like, what's the point? What's the point?
I know someone who has a crush on you.
I know someone who likes you. Who? I'm not telling.
I'm not telling.
Well, I can't do anything about it then.
Exactly.
What are we? We're playing a board game right now? We're playing a match game? Like, what are we doing?
When girls would say that to each other, the answer was invariably me. I had a crush on you. Fill in the blank, Marine Catholic High School female.
Dibs would walk up to girls. I know someone who likes you. Who is it? It's me.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. He's 5'1 with orange hair.
It's not a bad line.
Wish I had it then. I know someone who likes you.
Who is it?
Yeah. It's hey, me. How you doing? I give you a clue. He's 5'1, 150 with orange hair. Hey.
But he really likes you.
Really?
Like, he's not about begging.
I mean, you figure if you have a crush on 100 girls, one would maybe say yes. But it turns out the odds are not forever in your favor.
No, it's like Johnny Cueto at the bat.
Seriously.
Oof.
Took me a long time to run into one, so to speak.
I do think that it would be fun for speculation sensation.
That's a buck.
I think that there are some names out there that... here's my takeaway today, being that A... Ramona didn't tell the listening audience.
Exactly.
And B, it ain't the off season yet.
No, we're not doing that, Mark.
I think the takeaway is simply this. Yes, the Warriors do potentially have some moves at a high level in their hip pocket. Because I will admit, I've been asking the question for weeks, what moves are even out there? Oh, they're going to make this big move. What move? What move are you going to make? My takeaway from our conversation with Ramona is twofold. A, yes, it is possible. And B, there are going to be some people available that maybe we didn't realize were going to be available.
Right. And C, if I can add C to your A and your B, C, they're going to make things happen in the offseason when we get there, and we're not there yet as a show. But I don't imagine that Joe Lacob, no matter how this thing eventually ends, I can't envision him, you know, rubbing his hands together and saying, well, let's just go ahead and run this back.
Of course not.
He's going to do whatever he needs to do to make this thing better in his own mind next year.
They're going to try. I mean, it doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen, but yes. Yes, like she made some points that I think opened my eyes a little bit. You know, if we're all sitting here going, okay, what does it mean to maximize the remainder of Steph Curry's career? What does that mean? Well, just start looking at their, it's like we always talk about, stop worrying about what they say and watch their behavior.
Right.
And the behavior, which you can freely disagree with, but their behavior has been such that they continue to push chips into the Steph Curry jackpot.
Right.
Steve Kerr, line it up. Draymond Green, line it up. They're going to continue to make moves that suggest we are not moving off of Steph Curry's career in favor of development. So if that's who they are as their DNA right now, then add in that they ended up as a 10 seed and realize that Steph will turn 37 next year, and this team is not going to waste another minute. So what does it mean to not waste another minute? Well, the word development does not come up.
Right.
That's not what they're doing. I don't think it means trade Kuminga. It might. She said they would really, really, really don't want to do that. But I think that they will be obsessed with the idea of turning things over on the fly at a high level. Doesn't mean they'll get it done,
right?
But they'll try.
And they may end up expending more assets than they want to get it done. And they may end up getting a player in that is not as much of a star as they wanted, but somebody who's better than what they currently have. Because you look at Steph Curry with two more years under contract, he might play more than 2 years, but thinking about it in those terms, he's got two more years under contract, and Draymond's got three, Wiggins has three. You're looking at 2 years, maybe 3 years of Steph Curry remaining, and so what are you going to do to try to get this team better between now and then? You're going to have to do something dramatic.
So as someone sits there and goes, well, they don't want to trade Kuminga, but they want to get into conversations at a high level. And my question was, okay, so how? They, right. they have the assets right. to get that done? Here's her answer, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN.
I mean, they have their draft picks. They have young players like Moody, you know, a lot of people really like Moody. A lot of people like Kuminga. I don't think they'll ever trade Kuminga. They'll really fight hard not to. People like Pajemski. I don't think they would want to trade Pajemski. Same thing with Trace. But, like, people are going to call about their young players. Those are good players. Plus, you have contracts like Wiggins' contract, like Chris Paul's contract is interesting. Even some of the other guys on the bench, like Looney or Gary Payne, like, they have the kind of assets that teams want. Like, that's they don't have albatross contracts on the Warriors. Like I actually think, like, for as expensive as that team is, they're actually very well positioned to recalibrate.
So you want to know who to thank for what she just said there at the end? They do not have albatross contracts.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you can thank Mike Dunleavy. You can thank the Jordan Poole for Chris Paul trade. And whether they keep Chris Paul or not, however that all looks, whether it just was a one-and-done season for him where, you know, he played a solid enough season for sure, I don't know about all that, but I know this. What she's talking about is they have reached a point where they are largely financially flexible. And that is because Klay Thompson's about to be a free agent, and it's because Jordan Poole's not on the team anymore.
And it's because the players that they do have under contract, you've got Steph Curry and you owe him $114 million more, and you would give him $1 billion if you had to keep him.
Totally.
So that's fine. You've got Wiggins 2 years and a player opt, and you owe him $84 million. You owe Draymond $78 million. End of list.
Yep.
And you've got, you know, Kuminga, who you're going to pay, you would figure, if you don't trade him. Moody with a team option. Looney's not guaranteed for next year. GP2 has got a player option, but I would guess that if GP2 wants to be here, he probably tears up that $9 million option and signs for, you know, 3 more years and, you know, $20 million or something.
Ooh,
to bring down next year's number.
I doubt that'll happen. I would be...
I think they keep him, but I don't think that they want to pay him $9 million for a year.
I think GP2 will take that option because he has had such problems with health, and he would not make a whole lot of money on the open market right now, in my opinion. So I think he's going to take the $9 million option, and because he represents $9 million... and is a player that you can slide in, you know, defensively pretty well on almost any roster, I think that GP2 may well be someone who ends up in a trade. Like, that's the kind of player that
right,
when you're like,
$9 million, yeah.
Need another $10 million here to make this salary, that or fit. Like, teams will not be like, we don't want that contract.
Well, no. For $9 million, it's nothing.
$9 million, yeah. It's expiring,
exactly.
and it's an elite defensive player. So I'm not saying they're trying to get rid of him or that they will. I know he's a fan favorite around here, but that's a useful contract if you are in trade discussions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Wiggins plus GP2 is $35 million. So as you're looking at possible, yep, like, package deals, Those two alone are $35 million on the move.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It's Warriors Roundtable night already on a Monday as we get you ready for the play-in tournament tomorrow, which will be right here on 95.7 The Game, of course. That means here comes Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean to keep talking Dubs hoops. Thank you so much for all the engagement, the calls, the YouTube comments, everything today. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I got to check my schedule, but I think I'm free.
Okay. I'm going to list you as probable.
Okay.
For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.